thing about the love of God is we don't really, man can't appreciate the love of God without realization of the depravity of man. The more we understand our sinfulness, the more amazing God's love is. We've looked the last couple weeks at the people's response to the giving of the Ten Commandments. We see immediately a fear came upon them. It was a fear that they were rebuked for, because it was a fear that drew them away from God, made them content with a distance from God, same fear that Adam and Eve possessed when they sinned and they hid from God because they were afraid. And that's not the kind of fear that we're to have, a fear that would make us content with a distance from God. But Moses told them they needed a different kind of fear, and that, of course, is the fear of reverence, a fear that draws us close to the Lord, a fear that moves us in the direction of God. And we see that the people were fearful because God spoke these commandments directly to them. And we must keep in mind that the Ten Commandments are a communion from God. They are a message from God to man, and therefore they are a revelation of the person of God. So the foundation of the commandments is really the person and the work of God. And that's brought forth, of course, and before he even spoke the commandments, he reminded them that he was God and that he was the one who redeemed them. So it's of extreme importance that we do not view the Ten Commandments merely as a set of rules independent from the person and work of God. They are a set of rules, but they must never be viewed as independent and separate from God. Because when you view them that way, you've now opened the door to explaining them away. You've opened the door to man's interpretation. If you look at the commandments, the Ten Commandments, there's really no room for personal interpretation. I mean, just as plain as can be. Thou shalt not commit adultery. What's there to interpret? Thou shalt not steal. What is there to interpret? So when we view it directly from God, we see the importance, we see the seriousness of these commandments, and that should cause a deep-seated reverence in our hearts for God, a reverence that moves us closer to God. We want to begin looking, and we'll spend two or three weeks, and then we'll go to another series. Our next series will be on Psalm 23. But I want to look at, since we've looked at the Ten Commandments, the remedy for a broken law. No one can read these commandments and honestly declare that they've kept every one of them at all times. You read those commandments and you see that we are guilty. We have broken the commandments in the past. In our unregenerate days, we have broken the commandments in the past, in our saved days, and we continue to break the Ten Commandments. But notice in the book of Job, chapter 9, book of Job, chapter 9, let's read verses 1 and 2. Then Job answered and said, he's answering Bildad, I know it is of a truth, but how should man be just with God? How shall man be just with God? Have two parties there. Man and God. There are two parties in salvation. Man and God. So we have to, if we're going to be theologically correct concerning the doctrine of salvation, we must be correct concerning the two parties involved. I mean, if you're wrong on the parties involved, you're going to be wrong all the way down the line. We have to understand who God is. We have to understand who man is. And this of course is a great failure amongst men today. Men do not understand who God is. And they don't understand who they are. So Job asked this question, how can a man be just with God? How can a man, a sinner, draw near to God in whom is no sin? How can a sinner draw near to a God who hates sin? How is that sinner ever going to be accepted by God? How is a man going to be just with God? That means you can look into the face of God and be at peace. How does that happen? How can a man, a sinful man, look into the face of a holy God who hates sin and be at peace? That, of course, has been the question since the fall. People throughout the ages since the fall have been trying to answer that question. And their answers usually, well, always in some form, come back to a system of works. Well, that's based on a misunderstanding of the holiness of God. I mean, how can man do any work that would be acceptable to a perfectly holy God? He can't do it. So the problem is, the way man gets around that is how he treats sin. He always treats sin as a misfortune, not as a crime. Big difference. Big difference between a misfortune and a crime. Sin is a crime, and it is a crime against God. Man wants to treat sin as a disease and not guilt. Once again, big difference. A disease and guilt, two entirely different things. But man would, again, man... And again, you get back to the experts. They label everything as a disease. Every sin imaginable is a disease or just hereditary, something you're born with. Man fails to recognize that the problem is sin. That's the problem. That's why the politicians do not have the answers, because they don't even know what the problem is. The problem is sin. Man does not want to be told that his or her problem is sin. But until sin be viewed as the problem, no real answer can be given to the question, how can the sinner be just with God? So man's erroneous answers to the question have always been wide of the mark. And they always do two things. They bring God lower than he is, and they raise man higher than he is. And therefore, his answer to the question is erroneous. And people do not understand the importance of the question. I mean, is there a more important question? How can a man be just with God? The truth is, it's a question that no one can evade. You have to face that question at some point. That question becomes real. When you stand before God, that question is real. It's not a question that can be entirely escaped. You're going to have to deal with it. But God has answered the question throughout his word. All through the word of God, God answers this question. And how can a man be justified with God? And again, if you understand that man is a wicked sinner, you realize, and that God is perfectly holy, you realize that the only way these two can come together in peace is a miracle has to take place. There's no other way. Something miraculous must happen. But God answers the question all through his word, and man refuses God's answer. Man cannot tolerate God's answer to this question, which again is a manifestation of how corrupt man is and how highly man thinks of himself and how lowly man thinks of God. So we want to look at God's remedy. We all know this, of course, but it's something we need to be constantly reminded of. And it's something that we need to let others know. No matter how angry and upset they get, and no matter how they defend their system of works, in every plan of salvation other than God's is based on a system of works by man, which is demeaning to the holiness of God. But consider man's need and the utter futility of the law to supply that need. See, man believe, again, if you believe in a system of works, then you believe that the law, there is some fulfillment in the law of God. But the Bible teaches that man has a need. It is a need beyond his ability. And it is a need in which the law is absolutely futile to supply. So we have to understand the depth of the need. We have to understand the purpose of the law. Man, of course, has broken the law of God. Now, I've only met one person in my entire life who absolutely refused to recognize that they were a sinner. I mean, almost everybody will admit, yes, I've sinned. everybody will recognize that. I talked to one individual many years ago who absolutely, no, I've never sinned that I can recall. But man has broken the law of God. 1 John 3 and verse 4, sin is defined or identified as the transgression of the law. And the transgression of the law is referred to in many, many places in the Word of God. And sinners are referred to throughout the Word of God as transgressors. What's a transgressor? A transgressor is someone who's transgressed. Someone who continually transgresses. So sin, the transgression of God's law. God has made laws. Man disobeys those laws. He does so repeatedly. He does so willfully. He does so defiantly. That puts man at enmity against God. You see, man wants to believe today that they can disregard God, they can disregard the laws of God repeatedly and defiantly, but somehow be at peace with God. Well, you try that. You break every law of the state and do so defiantly and willingly, repeatedly, and try to be at peace with those who enforce the law. It's not going to happen. You're at enmity with those who enforce the law. God has laws, and God enforces those laws. And when a man repeatedly breaks the law, he is at enmity against God. And that's serious. Notice Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. Because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the mind that you and I are born with, is enmity against God. It's not that it might be, it is enmity against God. For, because, it, the carnal mind, is not subject to the law of God. It will not subject itself to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Man cannot bring his mind into subjection to the law of God in and of himself. Notice Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. And that he might reconcile both, that is Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, that is the cross. Once again, we have that word enmity. Enmity. Notice in Colossians chapter 1, and we'll close. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind, enemies inwardly, by wicked works, enemies outwardly, yet now, hath he reconciled. That is, the two have been brought together. Every saved individual was once an enemy of God. Every saved individual was once an enemy of God. But something happened. The two have been brought together. And that's the question. How can man and God, two polar opposites, ever be brought together in reconciliation? Reconciliation with God, of course, it's an amazing thing. It's a marvel. It's something that we need to really get a hold of, that we've been reconciled to God. So we'll proceed next week, probably the following week, to answer this question: how can a man be just with God? Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you have the remedy for a broken law. And Lord, we thank you that the sinner can be reconciled to God. We thank you, Lord, for your law. We thank you, Lord, that the many lessons that we learn from your law, we just pray that you would help us to worship you. And Lord, help us to worship you this day, to bring you all the honor and all the glory. And Lord, we ask that you would just draw each one of us closer to you, that we might feel your presence this day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.